Morning, everybody. Today's daf in Me'ilah is daf Ches. We start the second perek of Me'ilah. In today's daf, we're going to be talking about. The first guess is Me'ilah. That would be a good guess. But we're going to talk about Me'ilah now done by Karbanos, which are Ksherim. Right? Good Karbanos. Meaning if you've observed the first parak of Me'ilah, which we just concluded yesterday, so we've been talking about things that go wrong with the Karban, and the discussion was, is there going to be a removal of the Isra of Me'ilah by Kachim Kachim, or an introduction of Me'ilah by Kachim Kalim, when something went wrong with the Karban. And now, we will be discussing over the short parak. It's a very short parak. It's three blot of Gemara. And as you can see already, today's daf is very short, although today's daf is not going to be very easy, but we'll get through it. Over the next course, the next three blot of Gemara, we're going to be discussing those karbanos that are kasher. Now, a funny place to start, we start with birds. Now, why do we start with birds? And the answer is pretty straightforward, I think. And I'll also explain why we start with chatas as well. When it comes to birds, again, we know that birds are offered as a karban in one of two flavors, and that's it. It's either brought as a chatas or it's brought as an ola. Unlike animals, which could be chatas, asham, toda, shlamim, right? Remember your kakeli that you sing right before musaf? So that's by animals, so that's your, it can come as a whole variety of different types of karbanos. By birds, it's only one of two options. It's either going to be a chatas and an ola, and it usually comes as a pair. It comes as a pair, as one being a chatas and one being ola. Not necessarily, but in the form of obligation, that's usually how it's provided. The Torah describes for us the process of offering the birds in Parshas Vayikra, and again in Parshas Tzav. But in the meantime, however, our Mishnah is going to be discussing birds as a first discussion in terms of Me'ilah for a very simple reason. You see, because by Shlamim, as we discussed, Me'ilah is a very limited application. By Shlamim, there's only Me'ilah by the Imurim after Zrikas Adam. And by Asham and Chatas of an animal, so there's going to be more Me'ilah, but even then there's still going to be limited because there's only going to be Me'ilah on the parts that are going up onto the Mizbeach. The parts that are eaten by the Kohanim after Zrikas Adam is not going to be any Me'ilah. All right, so now let's go on one step higher. Let's go to an animal ola. An animal ola, so the animal is mostly subject to Me'ilah. Which part of the animal is not subject to Me'ilah by an ola, by an animal ola? The hide. The hide of the animal, after you shech the animal and you flay the animal, the hides go to the Kohanim. So not every part of the, in other words, the ola means it's totally burnt, right? And it's, we know, we've been in Gemara long enough to know, when we say totally, we mean mostly. Mostly burnt. But the hides are going to go to the Kohanim. So where do we start where the animal bikulo in its entirety is subject to Me'ilah? And that's going to be by birds. By birds, the entire animal is burnt on the entire bird is burnt on the Mizbech. Now that's not always true, because as I mentioned, we have two types of birds. We have a chatas and we have an ola. So by the ola, what I said is absolutely true. The entire bird, meaning there's no separation of bird from its skin, right? The bird doesn't have a hide like an animal does. But notwithstanding, the entire bird is burnt on the Mizbeach. So when we talk about a bird, so the ola bird is entirely burnt on the Mizbeach. So that means that the bird in its entirety is subject to the Isser, to the laws of Me'ilah. So that's why we start with birds. Now, if my introduction is correct, so why are we starting with Chatas? Meaning, shouldn't we start with ola? So that's just a technical aspect, because whenever we talk about birds, chatas always precedes ola. You're going to see. In fact, it's in the Torah itself, when the Torah describes the birds that are being brought, and they're always brought as a pair, so the Torah always describes the chatas bird, right? There's a couple of examples. I'm just bringing you one example. Perikei, Pasuk Ches. Ve'evi'osam ala kohen, he brings the birds to the kohen. Ve'ekrivas asher l'chatas rishona, and then you bring the chatas first, u'malakas rosho mimul arpov, v'lo yavdil, and then you do malika. We're going to describe all this over the course of this morning. Ve'hizam midam ha'chatas l'alkir ha'mizbech, v'nesher badam yimasel yisrael ha'mizbech, chatasi, v'esasheni, and then you get to the second bird, yase ola kamishpat, then that second bird you do like an ola. Okay? The starting point is going to be birds. As we're going to move through the parak, you're going to see we're then going to turn to animals, and then we're going to turn to mincha. But the reason why we start with birds, I believe, is because the birds is the most subject to Me'ilah. The entire bird is subject to Me'ilah, but That's true by the Ola, that's not true by the Chatas. Okay, Chatas bird, what happens to it? So I'm gonna go through the process in detail in just a second, but basically after we go through the process, after we go through the Avoda, the meat of the bird is given to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim eat the meat of the bird as they would by an animal Chatas. Okay. Let's go through the process of the Avoda by the bird. It's a little bit different than by an animal. By an animal, we know we have Dalal Avoda. So Dalal Avodas by an animal are Shechita, Kabbalas Adam, Holacha, and Zrika. Good. And then there's more details, but right now that's sufficient. By birds, so first of all, there's only three Avodas. Okay, there's no Shechita by a bird, there's something called Malika. We've talked about this many times over the course of Seder Kachim, but it's worthwhile reviewing right now. The Kohen takes the thumbnail. Now, I don't have one, right? I, Baruch Hashem, I don't bite my nails. I just... They're very short. So the Kohen takes a thumbnail, and while holding the bird in his hand, in the same hand that he's about to do Malika, he then wraps the neck of the bird over his finger. It's going to be the back of the neck of the bird. He's going to take his thumbnail and press it right in, and that is the process called Malika. Now, it's an interesting process because it's almost the opposite of Shechita. It literally is the opposite of Shechita. Shechita is done from the front of the neck, and Malika is done from the back of the neck. In fact, if Malika were done outside the Beis HaMikdash and out of the context of Avoda, it would render the bird an Avela. But the Torah says that when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, this is the way I want you to shecht. Shechting in the Beis HaMikdash requires you to do what normally would be a Nevela. Okay? It's Hutra, so to say.
And it can only be done
with the Shechita. Right. And that's a major difference. It's a good point. It's a major difference between Shechita and Malika. Shechita can be done even by a non-Kohen, but Malika can only be done by a Kohen. Okay, so now you press it in. Now, normally by an animal, we would have this process called Kabbalah B'Kli. We accept the blood in a Kli. By bird, no. By bird, you're right by the Mizbeach while you're doing the Malika, and now you sprinkle the blood, Hazas Adam, straight onto the Mizbeach from the neck of the bird. So there's no transfer of the blood from the bird into a Kli, but rather it goes directly onto the Mizbeach. And then there's one other process, and that's called Mitsui. Now, mitsui is squeezing, right? We talk about it. Huh? And then what we do then, and I was just reading from the pasuk, same pasuk that I read from earlier, v'hizami dam ha-chatas al kerem mizbeach. So you sprinkle the blood of the chatas onto the walls of mizbeach, v'anishar b'dam, and anything left over the blood, yimatzei el yisrael mizbeach. You squeeze it against the foundation of the mizbeach chatasu because it is a chatas. So there really are three parts to the process. Part number one is Malika. Part number two is Hazah. And then part number three is Mitsui, is the squeezing. Okay, I'll discussion later on this morning, how essential is the squeezing? Meaning, is that really a critical component? We don't have such a halacha by an animal. We do have this halacha by a bird that you squeeze the remainder of the blood. How critical is that squeezing? That is a discussion we'll have later on this morning.
Part of his burn.
By a chatas, no part of his burn. That's correct. That's correct. I believe you're right. Right. The Gemara is going
to
have that discussion later on. Okay. Okay.
And where is
this?
Is the one where you pull out all the insides?
Yeah. So that's the Ola. The Ola, you take out the crop and, right? And you put it onto the Mizbeach.
Not the crop.
Okay. Now? No, I'm sorry,
you throw the crop.
Right. Right, that was his, right, he chucks it from the southwest corner, over the ramp, right, correct, right by the east side of the ramp. He throws it over to the east side of the ramp. At one point in time, I think we measured the throw.
It was a baseball player.
Right? Did I say it was from shortstop to first base? Did I actually do that? Okay, we continue. We start. All right. So that's the basic introduction to a chatas of. Let's go over to Matahara now. Okay, it's important. We are going to talk a lot of today about Tumah Tahara. And I know we've gone over this many times before, but that's why we're here. We go over it again and again, and it sinks in, right, slowly but surely. right? It's like Rabbi Kiva and the water just dripping onto the rock. Eventually it penetrates. Okay, and I'm living testimony to that being true. When we talk about Tumah Tahara, so we know that there are degrees of Tumah. There's a source of Tumah, Nava Tumah, and then there are going to be degrees of Tumah. So there is Rishon Sheni, Shlishi, and even up to Revi. Now food, in general, if it's non-sanctified food, if it's not Hektish food, just regular Chulim food, so food can be subject to a Rishon B'Tumah, can even go down to a Sheni B'Tumah, but that's it. After that point in time, it cannot go any further. Now when we talk about Truma has a degree of Kedusha. Your basic rule of thumb is, the higher level of Kedusha, the more susceptible it is to being Tameh. So when I have Truma can become even a Shlishi B'Tumah, and then when I have Kodesh, meaning Karban, what we're talking about right now, and it's now edible, it becomes prepared to eat, so now it could become even a Revi B'Tumah. So that's the fourth degree of Tumah. So that means then, that if I'm, let's say, a Sheni B'Tumah, just for example, I'll explain why I'm a Sheni in just a moment, and I touch carbon now is a Shlishi, but that carbon now touches another carbon, that next carbon can become a Revi. And that's it. Meaning if that carbon now touches another carbon, there's not going to be any transfer of Tumah because it only drops down to a Revi. But in other words, it can go down all the way to a fourth degree of Tumah because of its high level of Kedusha. Now, other terms that you need to be familiar today is the following. Let's say I become Tameh. I come into contact with an Avitumah, and now I become Tameh. So what do I have to do? I have to go through a Tahara process. I'm not talking about where I come into contact with a mace, because that requires a Paraduma. Just a simple case where I touch a Sheretz. Okay, now I become Tameh. So now what do I need to do? I need to tov on the mikvah. I tov on the mikvah over the course of today, and from today until tonight, I have residual Tumah. That residual Tumah is called in the world of the Mishnah, Tvul Yom. In fact, there's a Masechta dedicated to the topic of Tvul Yom. So now, Tvul Yom means I have residual Tumah. I'm somewhere between being Tameh and being Tahor. Okay? It's like Bein HaShmashos, if you will. Now, let's say I am a Mitzora or a Zav. Neither I'd like to be. But let's say I'm one of those. So I go through my Tahara process. On the last day of my Tahara process, I tov on the mikvah. Until the evening, I'm now at Tvul Yom. When the sun sets, I am now able to eat Truma. However, not until tomorrow, not until I bring my karbanos, if I'm a Mitzora, so I have three karbanos I need to bring tomorrow in the base of Mikdash, and that would, of course, be on the eighth day of my Tahara process. So from tonight until tomorrow, when I bring my karban, I'm now what's called in the category of Mechusar Kippurim. Mechusar Kippurim is a shade of Tumah. Meaning, even though the sun set, and even though, for the most part, I'm Tahor, but I still have some remnant of Tumah, which will not be totally removed until I bring my karbanos tomorrow. So, notably, I won't be able to walk into the Beis HaMikdash, and I won't be able to eat karban until I bring my own personal karbanos tomorrow. Okay? That is, and that's called Mechusar Kippurim. Right? I am deficient, I am lacking in kapara. All right, so those are that's your basic outline of Tumah. The terms that you need to know today is the Rishon L'Tumah, Shein L'Tumah, Shlishi L'Tumah, Revi L'Tumah, Tvul Yom, Mechusar Kippurim. These are all terms that we're going to throw around today with no problem whatsoever, hopefully. We start with the Mishnah, Chatzas Ha'of, Mo'al, and Ba'Mishe, Huktisham. So now, Chatzas Ha'of. So the din of Me'ilah starts from the point of Hekdesh, right? In that regard, it's exactly like an animal. An animal, the moment I'm Makdish the animal is subject to Me'ilah, right? I dedicate it as a carbon chatas and subject to Me'ilah. Same thing is true by birds. So I pick up a bird and I dedicate it and I say, this bird now is Hekdesh. So this bird now, in Hekdesh with Kedusha of carbon chatas. So at that point in time now, it is subject to Me'ilah. Fine. So when does the Me'ilah go away? So we know the correct answer. The correct answer is, when does the Shas head to the Kohanim? When the Kohanim are allowed to eat it. So by birds, when is that going to be? So listen carefully now, because this is important. I mean, it's all important. But just, we're gonna connect it to a Gemara that we discussed earlier. Continues the Mishnah. Nimlika. So I do Malika to the bird. So now that means that a Kohen, inserting his thumb into the back of the neck of the bird, shechting the bird, the special shechita, Malika. Hukshiru lihipasel b'tvul yom uve mechusar kippurim uve lina. At that point in time now, it's hukshira, meaning I killed it. So now it's no longer a live bird, it's now a dead bird, and now it's subject to tumah. It will be tameh if a tful yom touches it, it will be tameh if a mechusar kippurim touches it, and it will be disqualified if it undergoes lina, if it lies overnight. Because now it's on the clock. Once Malika is done, so the bird now is on the clock and can be disqualified with the psul of lina. Okay. Then the Mishnah continues. Huza dama chayav and alav mishum pikel nos vitame. The ein ba me'ila. Now once I do haza'a, which is the sprinkling of the blood of the bird onto the wall of the mizbeach, so now it'll be subject to pikel nos vitame. Those are classic disqualifications of a karban, meaning at this point in time now, it is a shechted karban, and not just shechted, I'm sorry, but prepared karban, and ein ba me'ila, and it's no longer subject to me'ila, because at that point in time now, it can be delivered, it can be given over to the kohen in order to be eaten, it's no longer kachay Hashem, and so therefore it's no longer subject to me'ila, ad kan divrei ha-mishnah. Okay, now... meaning the pigle doesn't kick in. Remember, pigle doesn't kick in. In other words, the groundwork to pigle is done during the avoda, but the actual iser of pigle doesn't kick in until the avodas are completed. Right. Let's go.
He had the
machshava beforehand. The machshava was happening, but the actual iser pigle doesn't kick in until the avodas are concluded. And when is the conclusion of the avodas? So the Mishnah says it's the point of azah. Okay. A number of points on this Mishnah before we go on to the Gemara.
Why is the Mishnah, in terms of choosing a source of tumah, chooses tavul yom? But there are so many other sources of tumah.
Because we're going to talk about in the Gemara. But before we get to the Gemara, a couple of things. First of all, right? This is a good rule to know in general whenever we talk about tumah, the difference between tameh versus pasul. And again, you've heard this from me before, but let's hear it again. When the Mishnah says that if malika is done, so now it's subject to becoming tameh by the contact of a tful yom or mechusar kippurim. If somebody who is either tful yom or mechusar kippurim were to touch the bird at that point in time, the bird is tameh. But the Mishnah doesn't say tameh. If you read the Mishnah more carefully, the Mishnah says pasul. Here's the basic story. It's a good rule to know. It is a universal rule. I don't think there's ever an exception to this rule. When we say tameh, it means that it receives tumah and it has the ability to transmit tumah to something else. So in other words, if let's say I was a rishon, for example, and I touched kodesh, I touched karban, so the karban is a sheni. And because the karban now is a sheni, you know, it's radioactive. It could then go ahead and transmit tumah over to another karban. It can even transmit tumah over to truma, meaning because it's such a high degree of tumah, it's a sheni, so then it can pass it on. So then the correct word to use is tameh. However, when we say the word pasul, what we mean is it's tameh, but end of the road. Right? It's a cul-de-sac. It can't go any further than that. It can only receive tumah, but it can't transmit, it can't pass it on. So that means, now just put it together, because you'll see all this is logical. Whenever we talk about tumah, I understand we don't understand it in terms of rationale, but in terms of logic, it has a very nice logical flow to it. When we talk about karban, so to what degree can it become tameh? Revi'i. When the Mishnah says that it becomes pasul, so who's touching it? What's touching it? A shlishi. Right. And I know all that just simply because of the language that's used in the Mishnah when it says pasul. When the Mishnah says that the karban is pasul, so that now means that it's got to be at the point of revi, because it can't go beyond that point. It's not transmittable, that tumah. So therefore it's revi, and so therefore I'm only left to conclude that the thing or person that touched it was a shlishi l'tumah. Okay, that's point number... Yeah, and then the language of the Mishnah would not be pasul. Then the Mishnah would say that nimaka hochshuru li tameh.
How much strength does a shlishi or a bein l'tumah have? Like if they walk into an ohel, could they?
Well, right. No. In other words, by tumas mace, we normally, somebody's tameh mace, he's a source of tumah. He's not on the number. He's not on the rishon sheni. He's an av. He's a source of tumah. So by Tumas Mace, we don't have so much this, you know, these Rishon Sheni discussions. Okay, and the other point, which is obvious, which the Gemara is going to point out, but I'm just making it clear right now, is the following. Is that the Mishnah says, when have we concluded the Avodah? By Hazah. Right? That's clear from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that once you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, so now, everything's in order. The Kohanim are able to eat it. It's now subject to Pigal Noser V'Tameh. Meaning, we're done with the Avodah. But that's not true. Meaning, we're not done with the Avodah. Right? I read the Pasuk in Chumash. Meaning, there's another stage to go, and that's what's called Mitzui. And that's the squeezing of the remaining of the blood that's in the bird onto the Mizbeach. So, it's clear from the Mishnah that Mitzui is a mitzvah, clearly, but it's not an Avodah. Okay? And that's something that's worth noting, and the Gemara that's going to be a topic of discussion in the Gemara, which we're going to get to a little bit later on. And one more point before we start with the Gemara. And that's the following. You remember a couple days ago, we had a discussion in the Gemara about when is it Shas Hetel Kohanim. And if you remember, we had three opinions in the Gemara over there. It seems to be that discussion is like a centerpiece of Masechta Me'ilah. When exactly is there Shas Hetel Kohanim, or Kohanim are entitled to it? So there were three opinions. One opinion was Shechita, the other opinion was Kabbal Saddam, and the third opinion is going to be Heter Achil LeKohanim, which is Zrika Saddam. Now that's by animals. Now I know we're talking about birds over here, but follow along this thinking. What does the Mishnah say? Our Mishnah couldn't be any clearer. You do Malika to the bird, it's not yet, the Me'ilah has not been lifted yet. Right. The Mishnah says it. The Mishnah says it's still subject to Me'ilah. It's only after you sprinkle the blood of the bird onto the Mizbeach, now at that point in time, Me'ilah has been lifted. So, if you think about it now, on the debate that we had, which was a debate amongst the Amorayim, Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan and another number of Amorayim got into the discussion, but really, what's the discussion? Meaning, I have a Mishnah over here, and the Mishnah couldn't really be much clearer. The Mishnah's telling us that Zrikas Adam now becomes the point where the Kohanim are allowed to eat it. And so, how can the Gemara earlier have any debate when the Mishnah couldn't be any clearer about at what point is it Mutal Kohanim? Now, this... okay, good. So this point is not my point. This point is already Tosus's point. Tosus raises this issue, right? Who's the dama chayav malam mishum pickle nose of it? Tame leman damer leel. You see where I am in Tosfos? I am. There are a lot of Tosus over here. I know. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth Tosus down. Second white line on the page. So Tosus says leman damer leel heter achila shanina rotzalamer. Who's a mamish? Shinir la'achila. So Tosfos now would like to try to plug everything in. So if you hold Heter Achila, which was Rav Yochanan's position, so our Mishnah is easy. Is easy and sounds the best. Meaning, when our Mishnah says Zrikas Dam, you know what our Mishnah means? Zrikas Dam. Right. Good. That's easy. And that would fit in right with Rav Yochanan's position. Ulamand Amar Heter Zrika wrote Salamar Shinir la'hazos. And so, but what if you hold it's Kabbalah Saddam? Now, again, by birds, there is no Kabbalah Saddam. But at least what you could do is you could say that when our Mishnah says, right, v'huzah, it means nira lahaza'ah, ready to be sprinkled, but not yet actually sprinkled. Okay, so that's how you can interpret our Mishnah. Ulamanda mehetar shchita, ki heichid be'ina la'al gabi kachim d'shachmim Kabbalah she'roi l'kabel, lahazos hakanami, delo shaykh Kabbalah gabi chatzas ha'of be'ina she'roi lahazos. Now this is a little bit tough. I'm not even sure, to be fair and honest, what Tosus means by this when he says that somehow you can read into our Mishnah means shchita. It's difficult. I read Tosus a couple of times. I'm not 100% sure even what he means when he. Yeah, right. Right. So right. So it's. Okay. Could it could be? Right. And that could be, in other words, I'm not sure, maybe this is what Tosus is saying, I'm not really sure, but that could be another way to address the whole issue. Meaning, again, I'm just defending the position, even though it's not accepted, but still, it's the position in the Gemara, that Shechita is really the point where it's Me'ilah has been lifted. Our Mishnah says it's Hazah, which is beyond Shechita, So maybe it can go back to the point where by birds there really is no shechita. Meaning by birds, birds have a different process altogether. And that process is not called shechita. And why is that so fundamentally different? So go back to what I said at the beginning of this morning. Because if I were to do malika outside the Beis HaMikdash, is that considered shechita? No. In fact, that's a nevela. It creates a nevela. So by birds, there really isn't a shechita component to birds. There's a way of killing it. It's called malika. But that's something that's so fundamentally different than shechita. So maybe in the discussion of birds, the reason why we can't point to shechita, meaning maybe by animals we can point to shechita because shechita is a matir and it's a universal matir. It's matir in the Beis HaMikdash, it's matir outside the Beis HaMikdash. But when I turn at birds, and we're talking about birds right now, where the only process to eat the bird is only through malika, it could be that malika is so fundamentally different than shechita. So it can't even compare to shechita. So I may hold in general heter shechita, but in our mission when we're talking about birds, there's no shechita to talk about. So therefore we bypass shechita and we go right to hazas adam. Maybe that would be a defense of the position. Again, it's something worth thinking about. Okay, and let's start with the Gemara. Ketani. Hochshara lipasa b'tfoyom ha'mechusi kippurim velina lipasa in aval litmuye lo. Masitza mani rabbanin hi. And here we have our Tumah Tahara discussion. And what the Gemara does is it reads the Mishnah like we did when we read the Mishnah, picking up on the word pasal. The Mishnah says, hochshara lipasa b'tfoyom ha'mechusi kippurim. That if a tvulyom or mechusu kippurim were to touch the bird after you shafted the bird, after you malaked the bird, so then it's subject to being tame. But what kind of tame? Psul, right? Uvalina li pasul in avalo litmuye, but not litmuye lo. It's only going to become pasul, which means end of the road, but it's not going to be pasul. Masnisen mani rabbanan hi. So now our Mishnah goes like the Chachamim. Now we're going to learn a brisa. And essentially what the Braitha over here is going to discuss is the following. We know we have this concept of tful yom. That's clear. Meaning that the person's tame and he tovels in the mikvah, and now from the time they tovels in the mikvah until the evening, he is a tful yom. And we also know unequivocally that he has a residual tuma. He's not tame like he was before toveling in the mikvah. Toveling in the mikvah is the beginning of his tahara process, but it's not going to be concluded until the evening. That's all the things that we know. Huh? That's all the things that we know definitively. What we're not 100% sure about is where is he in terms of his own personal tumah from the point where he tovels in the mikvah until the evening. What degree of tumah is he? He's no longer a rishon, right? Let's say he touches the sheretz. He's no longer a rishon, but what is he? What does he move down to before the evening? So now, right, so when you look at our Mishnah and you read the Mishnah says that if a Tvul Yom were to touch Kodesh, it becomes Pasul. So now, as I mentioned back in the Mishnah, the only way to understand it is that the person must be a Shlishi. Okay.
He also cannot touch Truma.
Right, correct. We don't know that from our Mishnah, but you're right. You're absolutely correct. Okay, so that's where we would have to put it. Now, this question of what degree tumah is a tvulyom is subject to a machlokas amongst the Tanayim. And what the Gemara now is going to do is it's going to present to us a brisa, give us all the opinions of what a tvulyom is, and you'll see that our Mishnah basically will only fit into one of those opinions. Okay, Netanya. Abishal Omer, Tvulyom Tchila Lakodesh. A Tvulyom is Tchila Lakodesh. Right? First degree. Right? He's a Rishon. And what he's going to do then is that when he touches Kodesh, Kodesh is going to become a Sheni. And that Sheni obviously is going to be able to create a Shlishi. And that Shlishi is going to be able to create a Revi'i. So now a Tvulyom is only going to be dropped to a Rishon. That's clearly not our Mishnah. Reb Meir Omer mitameis haKodesh uposel es haTruma. Reb Meir is of the opinion that he's mitame Kodesh and he's going to pasel Truma. It's like we're speaking in code over here, but we could decode. It's not that difficult. Meaning, think about it. It's like a riddle. What is going to make Kodesh tame, but make truma only pasul? The answer is sheni, right? That's our decoder ring. The answer is going to be sheni, because when you're a sheni and you touch truma, what results? What's going to be of that truma? It's pasul. Meaning, because the truma is going to be shlishi, but that's it by a truma. That's the end of the road. It can't go beyond a shlishi. So that means that you are a sheni. When it says be mitame kodesh, what does that mean? It means that you're a sheni. The kodesh is going to be shlishi, but because it's kodesh, it can then transmit another step. It can become a revi. So according to Rav Meir, a tvul yom is a sheni. And then the third opinion is a chachamim, and the chachamim are kishem shu posa mashka truma v'ochle truma kachu posa mashka kodesh v'ochle kodesh. He posels truma and he posels kodesh. Now here, when we take out a decoder ring, this will be very difficult to decode. Right? Meaning, what can a tvul yom do? He posels truma and he posels kodesh. That's difficult to hear. It's difficult to understand.
How is it different than
Rav Meir? Substantially different. Because according to Rav Meir, you're a sheni. You touch kodesh. By truma, they're going to be the same. But by kodesh, they're going to be different. Because according to Rav Meir, if the tvul yom touches kodesh, it's now going to be a shlishi, which will then render another kodesh a revi. But according to the chachamim, it passels kodesh, which means that the kodesh is now a revi, which means that he's a shlishi. But I'm telling you, though, that the chachamim are very difficult to understand in terms of what level tuma are we talking about. Because, well, if he's a shlishi, then he should not be able to affect truma. And if he's a sheni, so then he should be metame kodesh.
Right.
The fact that he's saying that I pasel truma and I pasel kodesh puts him somewhere between a sheni and a shlishi. Now, did you know that there were steps in the middle?
I think
if we can, in other words, trying to articulate what this position of the Chachamim is, it's basically, according to the Chachamim, it's basically he's a posel. Meaning, don't give him a number. To give him a number, you can't, because it doesn't work out. But basically, he's a posel. Meaning that he's such a residual level of Tumah that whatever he touches will get to the end of the road. Meaning, if he touches Truma, the Truma will be Shlishi. Posel. If he touches Kodesh, Kodesh will be a Revi. Pasul. But don't give him a number according to the Chachamim, because it's not going to work out. Just simply say he's a posel. There's only a little bit left of tuma in him, so that whatever he touches now will be a terminal tuma. If you understand what I meant by that. Okay. So that's the position of the Chachamim. But awkwardly enough, as we struggle to try to understand, to organize, according to the Chachamim, what is he? But it seems from our Mishnah that's the author of our Mishnah. The author of our Mishnah is the Chachamim. Because what does our Mishnah say? That once you do Malika on the bird, and the bird now is dead, and now it's, because it's dead, it's subject to Tuma, so if I have a Tful Yom touch the bird, the bird's Pasul. Right. That's certainly not the first opinion of the Braisa Abishal. That's certainly not Rav Meir, because remember, Rav Meir says the tvul yom is a sheni, which means the bird is a shlishi, which means that the bird can be mitami something else. So now it's not Abishal, it's not Rabbi Meir, it's a chachamim.
And there's no opinion that the tvul yom is always a shlishi.
We are not in this Braisa.
Not the paisal truth.
Right.
What the tvul yom touches somebody else? Does he do
anything? Nothing.
Only food.
Only food. Right, correct. Now, could be. I mean, assume. Let's whatever. It could be anybody. Anybody who has a status of a tvul yom. Okay, so when I go over the Mishnah, and now given all the information, it's a lot of information. But given all the information, it definitely seems like our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, and not like Abishal, and not like Rav Meir. Okay.
Tvul yom is distinct.
Right. Right, and right, and he's really right, it's hard to, according to the Chachamim, We don't have a number we can give him. We can't say he's a sheni, and we can't say he's a shlishi. We just simply say he's a posel. Okay. Rava, Amar Rava, the Gemara says, what Rava's now going to do is he's going to try. He's going to try to have our mission go like the other positions as well. Amar Rava l'abashol, ma'la asa b'kashim, shavinu rabbanan l'tvul yom karishon, l'ramer ka'ochel sheni, l'rabbanan kevin d'tava, kalash tuma posel mashve, tamila mashve. And what Rava does basically in those two lines of Gemara is he basically says, you know, we can, it's going to take a little bit of fancy footwork, but we can fit in Abishal and Rav Meir into our Mishnah. Now, how are we going to do that? We'll do it like this. Meaning that when I ask you the question of Tful Yom, what status does he have? Basically, everyone's going to agree with the Chachamim. Meaning it's just residual Tumah. And it's as residual as you can be. Meaning that really, all he can do really is pasul. That's all he can do. Minat Torah. But in come the Chachamim, and the Chachamim upgraded his Tumah. And why would they do that? So, we're talking about carbon over here. Right? And by carbon has such a high degree of Kedusha that what the Chachamim did is they added to the degree of Tumah. Basically, as kind of like a gedder. In other words, a way of people not to touch Kodesh, not to touch carbon, even though they'll say to themselves, well, I know I was Tameh, but I told them the mikvah, you know, I'm on my way to recovery. I'm gonna get better, right? All I gotta do is wait till nightfall. Right, first Mishnah Brachos, right? The Kohanim. When they told them the mikvah, when do you say the Shema at night? When you see the Kohanim, meaning the Trum at night, okay, now you know it's Shema. Right, we're ready for Shema at night. So already, in other words, I'm on the road to recovery. So what the Chachamim did is they stepped in. They said, you know, I know you're Tful Yom, but we're upgrading over here. Is not a
downgrade,
right? Downgrading is a better way to say it. But in other words, we're going to make you more tummy than you actually are. Min haTorah, you're a posel, but midrabanan, according to Rameir, you're a sheni. According to Abishol, you're a Rishon. But everyone agrees that min haTorah, you're just a posel. So, that's how you read the Mishnah according to Abishol and according to Rameir. When the Mishnah says that he's a posel, what the Mishnah is describing is his status min haTorah. And then Rameir will tell you, but midrabanan, he's a sheni. And Abishol will tell you that midrabanan, he's a Rishon. But when the Mishnah here is talking, the Mishnah is just telling you the din Torah of such an individual.
What's the question?
Abishol, when did he live?
No. Yeah.
Right? I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, if he's a bar pluta with Rav Meir for sure, no.
Right.
So, okay.
Abishol was Rabbi Yeshua's student.
Student of Rabbi Yeshua. So that's post Beis HaMikdash? Okay, so they still, in other words, Tumah Tahara is not limited to the Beis HaMikdash, but all right. Okay, so I'm going to read those lines again just to make sure that we are clear on the lines. Amar Rava, La'abashal, Ma'ala Asu B'Kashim, Ma'ala means they made a Chumrah, that's rabbinic. Shavina Rabban L'Tvul Yom K'Rishon, the rabbis upgraded or downgraded, however you want to say it, a Tvul Yom to a Rishon, L'Rameir Kol Chosheni, and according to Rameir, like a Sheni, L'Rabbanan, and according to the Chachamim, came into Tavol, Kalash Tumah, Pasul Mashve, Tamela Mashve. And according to the Chachamim, he's only a posel. But in other words, every Tana is okay with our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is only discussing the Din Torah, not the Chumrah de Rabbanan of the extra Tumah that was given to him by the Chachamim. Okay. Who's the Dama Chayav? And we continue in the Mishnah, discussing the Mishnah. You do haza mi'ilahu deleka aval isura ika. Now the Gemara makes this deep. We see this deep again and again. The Mishnah says that there is no mi'ila. Now there is no mi'ila, but there's going to be an isser, right? You understand the deep? I tried to explain the deep before. I'm going to give you a really bad sports analogy. Again, if you like sports, you enjoy sports, then you'll like it. If not, then just ignore. It's fine. But basically, you know when you foul somebody, so they're obviously entitled to free throw, but that's only when they are, that's only when they're in the process of shooting the basketball. Okay. After fouling a certain amount number of times in the game, so now they're what? They're right. So now the team is penalized. Now any foul that you give, so they have an ability to shoot a foul throw, a free throw. So in other words, it gets to a certain point in time when they're in the penalty, where at that point in time any foul now is going to be a penalty, right? But prior to that point in time, though, I mean, you foul. I mean, it's a foul. It's a question of
losable.
Right? When exactly you fouled them, but it's still going to be a foul. When the Mishnah says you're subject to Me'ila, that means you're in the penalty. Meaning, when the Mishnah says, oh, you're Mol Behekdesh, meaning we're well beyond the point where you're violating an Isser, you're now violating an Isser, and there's penalty as well. Meaning, you're going to have to now make restitution and bring a Chomesh and bring a Karban Asham, but that means you're in the penalty. But before saying there's Me'ila, you could just simply say, you know, it's Isser, you're not allowed to do that. By saying Me'ila, what you're saying is, not only did you do something wrong, but you're in the penalty. So by the Mishnah saying the words Me'ila, what essentially the Mishnah is saying is, when the Mishnah says Ein ba Me'ila, all the Mishnah is saying is that you're no longer in the penalty. But what you're doing is absolutely wrong. So, when you sprinkled the blood, right now that you hear that, you hear the Gemara's question very well. You sprinkled the blood. Who's Adama? So there's no longer going to be Me'ila. No longer going to be Me'ila. What do you mean? But what you're doing is wrong? What you're doing now is totally right. Meaning then you hand the bird over to the Kohen. The Kohen sits down and eats the bird. I mean, let him cook it first. But now the Kohen eats the bird. Because now the bird is totally acceptable. So listen to the Gemara. The Gemara now, Me'ila hu deleka v'histori ika v'amai ha'mamonet kohanim hu. At this point in time now, it belongs to the Kohanim. So don't let the Mishnah just simply say, oh, you know, there's no Me'ila, you're not in the penalty. What do you mean? What you're doing now is totally legitimate. So Amar Rabbi Chanina. Now remember, this is not the first time we've asked this question. We asked this question back in the first perek. And sometimes we answer, we say, well, purposes of symmetry. Meaning we want to compare the first half of the Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah. In the first half of the Mishnah, we say there is Me'ila. In the second half of the Mishnah, therefore, we're using the contrast of there is no Me'ila. Okay, that answer doesn't work over here. Again, somewhat of a discussion why that answer wouldn't work over here. But rather, the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Not simple, sorry. There's not a simple answer. Am Rabbi Chanina liyotzim, Rabbi Kibahi, the Amr Zvikam olas liyotze. The Lav Basachilahi. So what we could say is our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Remember, Rabbi Akiva, big discussion at the end of the first parak of Me'ila. What if I take the meat of the bird out of the Beis HaMikdash prior to my Zrika? So big debate in the Mishnah between Rabbi Akiva and who is his Bar Plukta? Rabbi Eliezer. So major machlok is the Mishnah between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Akiva says that the Zrika is going to remove the status of Me'ila. But even according to Rabbi Akiva, that's all the Zrika is going to do. All the Zrika will do will remove the status of Me'ila. Can the Kohanim eat it? No. So our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, that is, and the case of our Mishnah is talking about where the bird was taken outside of the Azara prior to the Zrika. Okay, a good answer, wonderful answer. Tosfos asks an unbelievably good question over here. When we were having the discussion back in the end of the first parak, just a couple days ago, or was it even just yesterday? When we were having this discussion about meat taken out of the Azara, what were we talking about it in the context of animals? Right? What did I do? I shechted the animal, I collected the blood, and then somebody, without thinking, walked the animal outside of the Azara, and now we're in this discussion of Yotze, the animal being taken out, prior to me sprinkling of the blood. Good. Do you remember what we said, however, if somebody were to take the blood outside?
Forget it.
So if we take the blood outside, forget it, it's done. Right, it's over. So Tosos wonders over here.
Yeah, the blood is in the animal.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
no vessel there.
Right, they're right here, there's no vessel. Right, so in other words, we're talking about before I did Malika. Right? And or even if we say immediately after I did the Malika, but if I took the bird outside, the blood's coming along for the ride.
It's not considered a separate entity.
It's still in a clean
region. It's part of the animal. In a vessel, it's a separate entity. It's known as a separate entity. It's a special classification.
So that's good. You're giving a fundamental answer. I like that. So Tosfos and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth Tosfos down the page, Amar Rabbi Chanina. So Tosfos really struggles, and I'm not going to go. He gives a whole bunch of not fundamental answers. So Tosfos, you know, he works. He tries with that answer of maybe part of the bird was taken outside and part of the bird was kept inside.
How could that be? The rest of the body going to be there.
And part of Tosa's struggle with that answer is that we generally assume that when it comes to blood, and I have my cardiologist, my resident cardiologist over here in the room, so there's a constant communication of blood throughout the body. So it's hard to say simply that we can isolate the blood of one part of the animal in one part of the body. So he struggles, meaning it's a difficult question. And how the Gemara over here can compare the removal of the bird outside the Beis HaMikdash to the discussed case of the removal of the meat outside the Beis HaMikdash, because there we could separate meat from blood. Here, it's difficult to make such a separation.
But either way, you still can't do it once it goes out.
Correct. But in other words, but we know that once the blood comes out, you can't even do Zrika.
Right.
And over here, the blood did go out once the bird was taken out. Okay, I'm just sharing with you. It's an issue. It's a point of discussion. We continue in the Gemara. Amar Ravuna Amarav. Mitzu chatzasof in a ma'akev. So Ravuna Amarav says that the squeezing of the blood of the bird is in a ma'akev. Didni Rav, who's a dama. And look, now we get to the mitzu we talk. What did our Mishnah say? Who's a dama? Blood was sprinkled. And what did our Mishnah say? Right? It's done. Meaning, the bird now is consumable by the Kohen. The bird is subject to pickle notes of a Tamei. Meaning, it's good. It's now a bird post-avoda. Either it's a mitzvah of mitzui, it's a mitzvah. It's the correct thing to do, but it's not part of the avoda. Good. And Rav Adaba Avama, Rav, and Rav Adaba Ava also quoting Rav, okay? Obviously, it's difficult because now that gives us two versions of Rav, two views of Rav. Mitzui chatzasov ma'akev, that the mitzui is ma'akev. Utini Rav. Now, what about our Mishnah? Okay, so our Mishnah would be a problem, but included in this opinion is going to be a correction of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, don't read the Mishnah huzah. When you read the Mishnah, you're going to learn the Mishnah, the word with the word mitzah. So built-in question, built-in answer to this opinion. How can you tell me that mitzu is an essential part of the avoda? The Mishnah says, Hazah Sadam, change the Mishnah to mitzui. Mitzui Dhamma. Tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, let's work on this. The Anisha Badam Yimatse El Yisod HaMizbeach. So let's go back to the Pasuk that we quoted earlier. Because the Pasuk in Parshat Vayikra, Perek Hei, Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Tes, thank you, talks about exactly this process of the blood. The Torah says, "V'hizami damachat asakir mizbech," and you will sprinkle the blood of the chatas onto the walls of the mizbech. V'hanishar badam, and whatever is left over, meaning because there's still some blood left in the bird, yimatzei el yisod mizbech. You squeeze it against the foundation of the mizbech. Chatas who? This is the chatas. When the Torah describes it, how does it sound like? Sounds like mitzui is essential or not essential?
Essential.
Sounds like it's essential. Sounds that way. The Gemara makes this very point. Because look, when the Torah describes it, the Torah says, do hazah, do mitzui, and that's the chatas. Right, chatasi. And this is what you do with a chatas. This is the definition of a chatas. Doing this. Ella Rav Huna Mai Vanishar. But according to Rav Huna, what do you do with the second half of the pasuk? Meaning, I understand the Torah describes mitzui, but then when it describes chatasi, that this is the chatas, so kiditayim debei Rav Yishmael, she'im nishar. So what you're going to have to do now is you're going to have to read the pasuk a little bit differently. If there's any blood left in the cavity of the bird, meaning, not that there has to be, but if there is, here's what you do. You squeeze the remaining part of the blood onto the mizbeach. Now, umay chatasi, now when we get to the last two words of the pasuk, And it says chatzasi. What do we do with those last two words? Aresha. It's going back onto the first part of the pasuk. Okay, it's not a smooth way to read the pasuk, admittedly, but it's a way to defend the position of Rav Huna Amarav. Okay, so question, is mitzu an essential part of the avoda? Subject to machlokas amongst the Amorayim. And contained in that machlokas amongst the Amorayim are going to be two important ingredients. Number one, how do you read our Mishnah? Do you read our Mishnah of Hiza or Mitzui? Subject to a machlokas, right? Meaning actual girsa, a machlokas of girsa of the Mishnah. And how do you read the pasuk? Another machlokas in terms of how are you going to read the pasuk. When it says Vahanishar, is that instruction or is that just in case? According to Rav Arba Ava, that's instruction. The Torah is telling you, make sure that there's some blood left over because you have to do this thing called Mitzui. According to Rav Huna, it means just in case. If there's any blood left over, so then you do this process of Mitzui. Okay. We'll pause over here. We'll pick it up. Amalei Rav Acha. We'll pick it up tomorrow. And tomorrow we go through more of the Karbanos and Mi'ila B'Ksherim.